Hi, I'm Emma.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jess.
There's lots of things we don't understand.
And things people don't want to discuss.
But we do, and we hope you do too.
So, if no one's going to talk about it,
let's talk about it.
And today we're talking about periods.
She looked up at me, she just gasped, she went, oh, you're menstruating. And I was like, what?
Mortified, went to the toilet, cried my eyes out.
There's more research on male pattern baldness than endometriosis.
65% of girls and women don't have access to safe period protection.
Hey guys.
Hey team.
It's been so long. Sarah, you look so scared. You're like, I caught you off guard.
I was going to say hello and then I went,
forgotten how the mics work.
Incredible start, team. Yeah, it's been a while. We're a bit rusty, but we're back and we're in the studio today. We're in the studio red. How fitting. We're here to talk about periods, which big topic, one we've been really looking forward to speaking about. I'm going to talk about a bit of our own experiences, of which we will have many, and our thoughts about them and all that kind of thing.
And then a little bit later on, we'll be having a chat with Tina, who's the founder of a charity called Freedom for Girls, which works with period poverty and giving sustainable period products to people all over the world.
Right, let's just jump straight in, get the taboo out of the way, because that is not what we're about. I started my period in year 5. Ladies?
Oh my Christ.
Really?
Yeah. Young. I mean,
don't think I knew what period was in year 5.
No.
I had two older sisters, which this is, again, we've mentioned it before on the podcast in the boobs episode, that having two older sisters in the house really comes in useful when you're going through all this kind of stuff. And so I was pre-warned early because... you know, not to talk about my sisters, they also started their periods quite early. So I was pre-warned, like, even earlier than them, because we suspected that this would happen. And then, yeah, in year 5, around the same time that I got my first bra, I also got a period. I was still in primary school, which was a whole experience in itself.
Were you at school?
I think I was at home.
That's fine. Mm.
I can't remember the actual I feel like everyone has these stories of, like,
I guess if you
period.
Were that young, you wouldn't, like, remember.
Yeah, I don't really... And because it was such a casual conversation that my mum had with me about what you do when you start your period, which is also so lovely. It was never made this, like, big thing. When it happened, I don't think I clocked it as, like, oh, my God, I've started my period and what does this mean? And, like, what am I doing? I was just very much, like, I think I shouted to my mum from the toilet and was, like, I need a pad. And then, like, she just came and bought me one.
Stuff.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. So yeah, I don't know if it was young, but other than that, I don't think my like first period story was that exciting. I don't know if you guys have.
Mine wasn't interesting, but it was quite different because, like, I didn't start mine until year 8, 9. I was like 13. Mm. And I had such a weird relationship with it because I will always hold a grudge against my year 5 teacher because she's the one that gave us, like, the talk.
Yes.
And they sent all the boys out to go play, like, football or some shit. And then they brought us all in and told us about periods and stuff. And I was like, does it, like, hurt? And she was like, no, you don't feel it. And I believed that so much. Then all my friends started getting their periods in, like, year 7, year 8. And they complain about it incessantly and be like, girly, come on. Surely.
Who's lied to you?
You know.
Yeah.
Surely it doesn't. Like, it's fine. Get over it. Whatever. And I grew up with brothers. So it was never a conversation in my house. So I was sort of like, oh, my God, get over it. Then I got mine. And, like, I remember I didn't notice... My mum noticed when she went through my laundry. Like, she picked up all my stuff that morning. She was like, bless her, my mum. She looked up at me. She just gasped. She went, oh, you're menstruating. And I was like, what?
So formal.
It was so formal. It was lovely. But, so.
How do you not, like, how did you take your, like,
this how do you not know? You
I was in a rush. Like... I was off to theatre.
Oh, okay.
So I just, like, stripped, left everything on the floor, clothes on. And it didn't hurt that much to start with. Because I feel like my periods didn't used to be painful and they sort of changed as I aged and all sorts, which we can talk about in a bit. But, I just sort of left everything on the floor. I was like, I'm ready to go to, I'm going to go to dance. And then my mum was like, oh, you're menstruating. And I was like, what?
What do you mean?
Pardon? And I felt really awkward about it to start with. I mean, similar, like, when we talked about the boobs thing, my relationship with all the kind of girly stuff, I mean, growing up with two older brothers and that kind of thing, a bit of a late bloomer. It was all a bit taboo in my own head. I felt a bit gross about it. So it's taken a long time to sort of come around. I don't remember the first period so much as in that interaction with my mother, which was objectively hilarious. We didn't really have a conversation either. She just sort of sent me away with the stuff and I was like, okay. But I think when she grew up, it was a lot more like hush-hush.
Yeah.
So fair.
I started mine on like my the day of my 12th birthday party. Is that the age you turn in year seven?
Yeah.
So I remember we were at the shopping centre, like getting some stuff like ready for my birthday party. Sumo wrestler suits, like blow up. It was really fun, really good party. Highly recommend. And I'd gone to the loo because I was like, oh, I feel like I need, you know, you feel like you need to go to the toilet. And I was like, Mum, I've just started my period. And I remember just having to shove a load of toilet roll. And then we weren't done shopping, so we had to stay at the shops. Oh. And I was like, and I think it was a good job we were at the shops because I actually think I had at the time, like, you know, the taster packets of tampons and pads that they give you, like when they do.
I remember getting I think it was always Lillette, like the smaller
the panty liners.
Yeah, and it was like panty liners and two tiny tampons.
Yeah,
and
that's what I got. Yeah.
And it was like,
and it was one pad with wings in mine as well.
And it came in like this little drawstring bag.
Oh no.
I've never seen it.
Let me see if I can get it.
Mine was just in like a little, and we'll post like, it on the cardboard Instagram. Box with like some like plastic. And I remember I lived off those for my first three periods because they just gave them out.
Lillette Teen Starter Pack.
Yeah.
It had 14 day pads, 2 teen night pads, 14 liners. We'll post a picture of it because it's actually super cute. I kind of want one. But yeah, it had like, they've labelled everything as teen day pads. I don't know. I think they were just smaller.
Yeah, probably.
But it was like 4 day pads, 2 night pads, 4 liners, 2 small non-applicator tampons, 2 regular non-applicator tampons, 1 super non-applicator tampon, and a Becoming a Teen booklet.
Not the booklet.
Wow.
But I remember it had like, I remember everyone having this at some point, like especially in primary school in like year 6, it was like I've got my little
woman bag.
I don't know what we called it, but I do remember it being like
those kits as well. The boys used to somehow get their hands on them and like throw the tampons across the field.
What? Although we always had tampons thrown around on buses.
Yeah,
at secondary school. Kind of grim.
We very briefly mentioned tampon use. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that? Because I will say that I'm converted a tampon girly.
Mm.
Like, that is my mode of choice. I don't know. That is like, that
it's just
is
the easiest
collection
one,
mode. I don't know.
Yeah. It's the least stress. I don't know it's there. Like, I think sometimes with a pad, I'll like stand up and I'm like, oh, this
I feel
is
like I'm wearing
a
nappy a little bit.
Yeah. And I feel like depending on what trousers you're wearing, you can feel it. And like I'm always conscious that like you can hear me, but that's not true. You can't.
Yeah, and then I wear pads to sleep because I get scared of toxic shock syndrome.
Oh, absolutely. First thing, I've been like a mix and match, but only in the past like year or so.
Nice.
Because I was like so unbelievably scared of them. First, like I didn't even have them to my disposal. Like my mum used to, like when I was like in my teens, my mum used to fill up this drawer in my bathroom. We didn't speak. We just filled it up, and it was like always pads. And I was like sick. Thanks, Mum. like, that was all. Like, I didn't even want to try. And then I remember it was while I was at uni, because pads can be really irritating. Not to get all, like, TMI, but because they're, like, plasticky, they can, friction exists, and it makes you all weird and hurts. And I always found, like, towards the end of my period, like, I feel very uncomfy.
Mm.
It's discomfort.
Especially on your, like, legs as well.
Yeah, it's like, just all a bit, not a fan. So I was like, I need a solution here. So I tried it. And I remember early on, I always got it wrong. And I was like, I am like 20 years old. This is embarrassing that I can't do this.
It's hard though.
It's really hard. Yeah. I still have to use like the applicator ones because I can't figure it out otherwise.
Oh, I only use applicator ones. My God, get me away from non-applicator tampons. They still terrify me.
I put an applicator one in, but I put it in wrong. And I tried to like manually fix that. And I was like, I don't know how the non-applicator girlies do it because I can't find it.
I've used the really, really small ones because one time I was like getting like a coach to like Liverpool with my friend, and I just started my period, but all I'd got with me was like a teeny tiny little like side bag thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I need the smallest box that there is. So I just grabbed the smallest size and turned out they were non-applicator. So I sat there in the like train station bathroom like trying to figure out this non-applicator thing, and they've got the tiniest string. They look tiny as well because obviously I guess they like absorb, like maybe it's just easier to get in there, but would not recommend. Like if you can do it, some people buy like a reusable applicator for them.
Yeah. I was going to say, I tried to look at investing in one, but I couldn't find one. I mean, we're going
to
talk
it
about...
with you all the time.
Yeah, this is the thing. We're going to talk about like sustainable options a little bit later on. But I did have... I've tried a cup. Like a moon cup. I didn't get on with that because you have to fold it weirdly and you have to like... And then you've got to boil it. And I'm like, well, I didn't want to take it to uni and have to boil it in my communal kitchen with all of my housemates.
Hi, guys.
Like, hi, guys, sorry. Like
just what's for dinner on my moon cup?
A tampon. And I used to swim quite... I like was a competitive swimmer for a little bit of time. Oh, ew. only at like whatever county level, but that meant that I had to kind of get on board with tampons quite quickly, which I'm now grateful for.
No, I struggle with them because like the way my period is now, it's changed so much like since I was 13. But now I have like 2 days of just Armageddon and then I have like 3 of nothing. And the issue is the Armageddon days, the only days where it's heavy enough for a tampon, but it's too heavy. I bled through in a Bills out for a meal. Super tampon in. I was like, this will be fine. It's only been like 4 hours, whatever. Let's get up to go to the loo.
No.
No, I hate.
I was like, oh my God, what is that? I don't know what to do. I was with my best friend and my boyfriend, and he was sat there like trying to like, with like a wet napkin to like clean it. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. I was sat on my coat for the rest of the meal because I didn't know what to do. I was like, oh my God. So I struggle.
No, sometimes I have to do like super tampon and a pad.
Yeah.
And it's so uncomfortable. But it's like, surely there must be a better option. And then I think about how much that bleeds. And then I'm like, well, imagine trying to take a menstrual cup. I look like I killed
someone
in
the bathroom.
Yeah, literally, like, it's gonna go over the floor. It's going to go over my trousers. Like, I don't know how you'd pop it out without it. Like,
it's just like, I get so sick. It's like humiliating, like, having to like wash blood out of your clothes. Mm. Like, I remember I was at my boyfriend's house the other day and I was on my period, but I was at the end of it. So I was like, you know, very like light flow. And I went to the toilet and blood all over my like pink trousers. And I had to like, text him like, Colin, like bring me some pants, please. Like, I can't do this. And then I had to wash out my trousers because I was staying over. I didn't have anything to wear for the next day. So to wash them out, put them in. It's just like, it's like embarrassing. Mm. Like having to. Like, and it's like, have I been walking around like that all day? Like, I had, when I was sat cross-legged in a circle earlier, were people like, oh, look at her, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, when I was I can't even remember what actual age I would have been. I want to say around like the 11 mark or whatever, maybe a bit younger actually. I was on holiday and we were with some like friends of friends and whatever, and you know, there might have been like a friend of a friend's son that I was like kind of maybe had a bit of a crush on at the time. And we went bowling and I was wearing these, I mean, they were super cool, I want them now. They were like these wide leg flowy trousers, but they were like white and black stripes. And I was like, oh, like, love my outfit, whatever. We were bowling and then this boy, bless him, he was only like 2-3 years older than me, so was also really pretty young, and he like came up to me and he was like, I don't really know how to like tell you this, but like, you've bled through your trousers. And I was like literally mortified, went to the toilet, cried my eyes out, because obviously I had like a little bit of a crush on this boy, and then he's just told me that I bled through my trousers and I'm on my period. And I was just blindsided by it because I was still young enough to be like, I kind of don't really know how it works, but like, it seems to be fine so far. Literally crying in the toilets of this random bowling alley, and then my mum had to come, and then his mum was like, oh, it happens to all of us, like, don't worry about it. I was like, I actually can't do this right now. Literally bored my eyes out for the rest of the night. Lol. So we all have like traumatic period stories. Lol.
But I think like
trauma dump.
We do. But I think like the shame of it is interesting.
Yeah.
Because nearly half the population basically does this. And it's not in your control whether or not you bleed through.
No.
And this is the, like, it's hard because I feel like there is, every time I have bled through or had a situation, especially in public, it's like you've wet yourself. It's like, oh my God, everyone thinks I'm incontinent. Everyone thinks I'm dirty. And it's like, I didn't just piss myself. You know what I mean? It's just I've bled through something. It's a bit heavier than I anticipated. That's not my fault. But I don't know if there's a way to remedy that shame and view it as something else, or if that's got to be like a bigger...
I mean, I think that's more of a bigger success. And by, I think, you know, not to like pat us on the back or anything, but I think by talking about it, it does make such a difference to move from a place where it's like, oh, this is so embarrassing that I like, whatever. And now it's, you know, we at least you can talk about it and you can acknowledge that it happened and you can maybe laugh about it or you can, you know, things like that. I do think that it's a good start point, but it's definitely something bigger to tackle on whether it's embarrassing or not.
Yeah, because it's so taboo as well. Like sometimes I find myself buying pads or tampons at the shops and I'm like hiding them like under my bread that I'm also buying to like cover up the fact that so I'm allowed to buy pads and tampons.
One time like, I walked into Co-op, I was in an absolute foul mood, walked in, went right up to the counter, box of tampons, box of pads, paracetamol, looked up at him and he was like
actually it's completely separate note, do you guys prefer paracetamol or ibuprofen for period pains?
I honestly don't know this.
Well, oh, I'm ibuprofen.
I just sedate
girl
myself.
I used to like religiously use Feminax and then
ooh,
when I came to
I've never used that.
Really, it's really good. And it was the only thing that got rid of my period pains because I used to take paracetamol and it like, didn't work. And then I came to uni and I started buying it for myself and it's like £7 a box.
Of course it is.
And I looked at the all it is.
Of course it is.
All it
God.
Really is ibuprofen.
Yeah.
So I've started using that.
Yeah.
And that helps a lot more. But
I don't know why paracetamol doesn't, but like for other aches and pains and whatever, paracetamol is fine. But for some reason when it's period pains, like I have to have ibuprofen. It just works so much better because I don't know what kind of period pains you guys get because there are so many. Have fun. But I tend to get like, you know, like cramps and then back, like really intense back pain. Like that is my main one, more than cramps actually, is that my lower back is just in agony for like 3 days. And I don't know, ibuprofen seems to work better for me.
It's I get like cramps and like, you know when you feel like your entire body is leaving via blood form, it hurts so like. And I actually think putting it when I started using tampons, like almost stopping the blood flow, it made it hurt less. And I don't know if that's a real thing.
I think it depends like what mood I'm in though, because I found like, because I've only just like recently as well started to understand the cycle as a whole more, especially when it comes to mood. Oh my god, the revelation like that I had.
Oh my god,
when it's like, oh, it's not my fault, it's hormones. I always find like you get past like your ovulation, the luteal flow, I don't know if you have luteal flows like blues. Oh my god, I become the worst. Like I'm like, why do I hate my life? Why do I hate myself? Why am I so like angry?
And then your period starts.
My period comes, and sometimes although it's really painful, like I get really bad cramps, especially like in the early days, get really bad back pain, get really bad headaches just before as well, which is horrid. I hate that because every time I get a headache, I'm like, I'm dying. As soon as that starts, I like sometimes I just lie down with like the pad on, just let it. I'm like, I feel free. I'm getting it all out, get all the emotions out, gone. And then follicular phase, whatever it's called, I don't know how to pronounce
follicular.
It. I made a playlist on my last one and it's all like Princess Diaries music and it was just like, if love. You believe, you can.
Well, this is the thing. I completely agree because when you're in that phase where it's like, I hate my life, whatever, like my thing is a bit like, I, you know, we've mentioned before, like I like going to the gym. I know that like you like going to the gym and it's, like, I'll think about what I'm eating. And then for some reason, I'm like, oh, God, I've been really, like, really bad with my eating. Like, all I want to do is eat chocolate and whatever. And then my period comes and I'm like, oh.
That's why.
That's why. I'm not just, like, awful and lack no self-control. It's literally my body. And I think I need to learn more about it because it also affects like training in the gym and how well we like retain information at university and like it literally affects all parts of your life and I want to know more but I just
Impacted me so much at uni. That's what made me like pay attention to it because I got really unwell at halfway through uni. It was basically just stress, but I didn't realize that because I didn't know it. It was like the way it impacted my eating and like I wasn't really keeping track of anything that I was doing in my body. I was just like panic like constant. And the obviously you go to the doctors and they just kind of go, I don't know, it might be hormones. It's like, oh, thanks. like, but after that, I did start to track like what I ate and everything. But when I tracked my cycles on top of that, that was more revealing. Just noticing those cycle phases. And it is like that follicular phase, so much energy. I feel like myself. I'm like, oh, I've met myself again. Ovulation, again, feeling myself. Bit of Sabrina on, life's good. It's that bit before, it's not even the period bit, it's the bit before, where all of a sudden I become so self-critical, so hyper-aware of everything I'm doing.
The worst person in the world.
I get really irritable. I feel like, and the thing is, it's not that like women are insane and women are women in a minute, because I know that's also the narrative, and it's like, no, that's really simplistic. That's like really oversimplified. It's just you become a lot more, I don't know, a lot more in your head, mm-hmm. a lot more like
everything upsets me. I cry like every day. The week before my period, like you could look at me wrong and I'm gone.
Cry. Yeah. But it's like, I don't know, but it's such a weird kind of cry though, because it's like, I know it's not.
You know it's stupid.
But also, and then I feel angry at myself for being stupid. And the big revelation for me, or the big like break for me, was learning that that's hormones, not me. And then you can kind of disassociate it a bit and then stop being so god like hard on yourself, because that makes it so much worse. Because then when you're like, oh, everything's set, then you go like, oh, I'm pathetic and I'm lazy and then it's just whole, so much worse. So understanding that has been so relieving. But that's never really spoken about earlier in life.
No, yeah.
So,
and that's, it seems to be like a new thing that's come out that more people are like interrogating it and like wondering why it happened. Or at least, yeah, it's never spoken about when you have your initial period chat. It's like, it's a 21-day cycle and for 5 days of it you bleed, and then the rest of it you're normal, and it's like it's not that. I think it's good, it's also good that people are wanting to explore this and wanting to see how it affects and wanting to see how it affects everything else, because that also makes it less taboo. Like, if I'm able to go like, guys, you know what, I'm in my luteal phase,
I
right
genuinely
now.
Do that. Like, I have a thing, like, it's with my boyfriend, I'll be saying things, he's like, luteal, and I'm like, luteal, and we're like, okay, and then he just doesn't take anything personally, he's like, luteal, and I'm like,
mine does that too. He's like, are you about to start, are you due on, and I take, I'm like, are you serious right now, have you just asked me if I'm due on my period, and I look and I am due on. But like, don't ask me that.
It's like an accusation.
But just you don't, know. Yeah. So you think I'm a horrible person.
You don't want the accusation, but it's just kind of like a mutual understanding. Mm. And also, I've made such a point in like recent years to not try and be ashamed with like language. Like with male friends, male housemates, especially because like I live with guys. Like, I don't want to have to tiptoe around them and be like, oh, I need like feminine hygiene products and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, I'm on my period today. I feel like shit. Okay? And they're like, fair. 9 times out of 10, they're like, okay. Because as soon as they start talking about it and making it normal, they start to get it. Mm. They start to get that it's painful. They start to get that it's not this like little thing that women whine about and blah, blah, blah. Like, and then you feel more comfortable. It's like, fine.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I mean, going back to like what you were saying about the doctors, like just saying, oh, it's just your hormones. Like, I've been having such, like my whole life, I've had such irregular periods. Like, only like the past like year, they'd like really got like regular. And I was like, oh, brilliant. Like, everything's sorted. And like in the past, like I've like been on for like months on end, or like, and it just, you just don't know what's going on. And like recently I've been literally on my period some form or another for like over a month, and I rang up the doctors and was like, I've got this problem, and they were like, yeah really good, like we'll get you in tomorrow. I was like, brilliant, like that never happens. When and it, this nurse, like female nurse, was like asking me these questions, and basically was like, are you stressed? And I was like, no, I'm not any more stressed than I normally am. And then she's like, oh, see, like, you know, you just come back and if you're still bleeding in 6 months, then come back. But too many people have too many problems with their periods for us to do anything. And I was like, are you serious right
now?
Six months.
I'm not being funny. Bleeding.
But, and then I went home and I'd like stopped for like 2 days. And then again, like we were in the Run Cook Club the other day, and I was like, I've just started my period again. And
no, that's
it's
crazy.
Like, I just need, and the only option is to go on the pill, and it's like, I don't want to go on the pill. I've been on the pill before, I don't like it, I don't want to go on it.
No.
Like, and it never, surely there the, must like, be another cause.
Yeah, and way. And it affects your period, it affects your periods differently, because I mean, like, I'm not on the pill, but I'm on birth control, and I was the opposite. I had very regular periods that I adored. They came like clockwork. They were 4 to 5 days long every single time. Like, I knew exactly when it was happening. I'm now on birth control, which is great for so many other reasons, but it's affected it in the other way. And now I have really irregular, really like here, there and everywhere. I'll bleed for a day here and then a week over here and then like a whatever over here. And so being like, oh, you have a problem, go on birth control, it's like, well, that's not necessarily going to fix it.
Never the answer.
A lot of women are becoming more like skeptical of hormonal birth control, because obviously, like, it can
it
work.
It doesn't take much. You just have to read the instructions to know that you've been lied to at the doctors as
yeah.
well.
But there's the thing, like...
like, every time I'm like, I have these concerns, and then I'll read the instructions, and it's like, oh, okay, so actually, my opinions don't matter.
No, but I think it's just, it's a lack of research. Yeah. Because for so long, especially in medical fields, it's not been a consideration for women's health. And even in, like, other fields of medical research and all sorts, women have just kind of been discounted as different. So stuff like heart attack research and that kind of thing, a lot of the trials, they won't include women because it's a logistical problem because of hormones. So you can't get a reliable study out of a woman as compared to, like, a male client because you don't know if the hormones are a factor. But it's like, but then surely that's something that needs to be
factored in
and studied. And so that's why we know so little about our own hormones. And that's why, you know, because they sort of say, like, the healthy is it shouldn't be that painful. It shouldn't, like, be that irregular. It should be blah, blah, blah. But then you say it is, and it's like, you could be stressed. And it's like, okay. Okay.
It's like, I saw this statistic. You know, there's more research on male pattern baldness than endometriosis.
Yeah.
Which is like, what? Who cares? If you lose some hair, it's fine. What? But I think you could actually tell, like, you can tell the trajectory of your life from, like, if you're going to lose your hair if you're a man. Mm-hmm. Like, they know if you're going to get, like, dementia or whatever, but they don't know what causes endometriosis.
No.
Like, what?
But that's been a very recent discourse as well, because there was that Australian broadcaster that was like, I think women are making this up now. And that highlighted so clearly how little people know.
Oh, my God.
Because...
have you ever seen the videos where they put, like, period pain simulators on men and they, like, cry? And
it's like,
they can, get to, like, level 3 and they're like, no way, this is level 3. And women are just stood there like, yeah, this probably is about a level 3.
Yeah.
And then they get to level 7 and men are, like, shaking on the floor. And women are like, yeah, this is probably what I go through every month.
Yeah.
It's literally crazy. But, I mean, like, you know, we're having conversations about what, like, our experiences and the things that we have available to us, which... as annoying as, like, some bits are, I mean, we're still very grateful that we have access to period products and support in that way. But we did have a chat with Tina from Freedom for Girls a little bit earlier this week on how, like, she... how that charity supports period poverty in the UK and over in Kenya, which was also, like, such an interesting conversation.
I'm Tina Leslie. I am the founder of Freedom for Girls, the period poverty charity. We're based in Leeds and we do work around Leeds, Leicester and in Kenya as well.
Amazing. And how did the charity come about? Like, what made you want to start it?
So the charity started in about 2014, 2015. So I was supporting my friend who was helping a charity out in Kenya. And she was doing a mother and baby charity, sort of like teaching community midwifery support workers. And she was a midwife, my friend. And she, so I helped her for a couple of years, just ad hoc. And then I loved the people, I loved the country, and I thought, okay, let's see if I can work on anything else. And then I found out that in Kenya, 65% of girls and women don't have access to safe period protection. And I remembered when I was 11 years old and I'd started my period, my first period, on a French exchange trip. And I spent the week, like, well, for start, I was 11, I couldn't really speak a lot of French. I had a boy who was a French exchanger and he had three brothers. So I spent the week using toilet paper, sleeping on the floor because I didn't want to ruin the beautiful French sheets, thinking, oh, my gosh, this is like the worst thing in the world. And I remember that like it was like yesterday. And I thought, oh, my gosh, these girls every month they're suffering that. And I remember this like, you know, and it was 40 years ago that this happened to me. I'm like, this is what I have to work on. So that's how I started. I just thought, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. Never done anything like it before. Never run a charity, never even thought about anything. And I just thought, right, I have to do something. Yeah, so I found a charity called Days for Girls who had perfected pads and also education. So I sort of took on their model. I got them to send me some pads, looked at their education, sort of tweaked it a little bit. And then ordered some pads from them and took them to Kenya on my next trip and found a seamstress and said, hi, if could you make these? And she went away, and an hour later she came back and said, yeah, I made them and it was all perfect. And then yeah, so that's how it all started. And then somebody had seen, I put it on Facebook saying, I'm doing this, I want to do this. And it was a lady who I used to work with years ago. She died and left a legacy, and her family had seen what I did, and they said, oh, do you want to apply for some funding? So I did, and that's really how it started. So that's how it started in Kenya. So for a few years I was doing the project in Kenya, and then in 2017, a colleague of mine, I work in public health, my day job is in public health, and my a colleague of mine said to me, Tina, I know what you're doing in Kenya, it's brilliant. Did you know girls here in schools are missing, you know, classes, they're missing school because they don't have access to period products, because either their parents can't afford it, they don't know what a period is. So that's how it happened in the UK. So that's, yeah, so then it's like, okay, interesting that, you know, I mean, I didn't know about UK period poverty. And so through a series of events, I'm like, okay, so what do I do? I tried to source some period products here in the UK. Through a series of events, I did a radio, BBC radio thing about it. And then it got onto the news, you know, the local news, BBC Look North. Then there was a tiny little thing in the metro about, you know, girls missing school. And then it absolutely blew out the water, and the whole world's press descended on me. You know, like me, I didn't know anything about anything. And I'm like, whoa, hang on a minute. And it was like, I had people from, you know, like, I had journalists from all over the world saying, oh my God, you're the sixth biggest economy in the world. Why have we got period poverty? And I'm like, and I work, like I say, I work in public health. And it was like, okay, well, you know, because, you know, we have 0 hours contracts, we have people on benefits, we have refugees and asylum seekers, people, you know, like fleeing domestic violence, you know, at that time, 1.7 million visits to food banks. Actually, if you can't afford food, it's a little bit like Kenya, you can't afford period products. So it like blew up massively. I ended up going on Woman's Hour, Good Morning. I was in the news for 4 days on the top most read thing. And it's like, oh, well, now I have to do something about it. So that's how it really started.
That's so exciting, yeah. Though, that something like so little became, I mean, literally.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, half the population menstruates at some point or other. And it's like, why is this such a massive stigma and taboo about, you know, periods, you know? And it's like, you know, why aren't they free? Why do we have toilet paper and soap in toilets but not period products, you know? And then all the stigma about it, you know, the girls were missing school, they didn't dare tell anybody. And again, it's still massively like that now, you know, like so many years later, we still have this massive stigma around talking about periods, you know, and like the access to them is ridiculous. You know, it's like even last, you know, up till like the end of last year, we delivered 35,000 products, packs of products in the Leeds and Leicester area alone. Ridiculous. In Leeds,
UK. Like in the delivery of it all, like you said that when you started in Kenya, like you took the products over with you when you went out there, and like how has that like developed and changed within the UK and with over in Kenya of how you even get the products out to people?
Sure, yeah. So basically what happened is back going about 10 years or so, so it's just a small workshop just outside Mombasa. A lady called Gladys runs it. She has sewing machines, she has the material, and they make the the period, you know, the period dignity kits. We have also out there I have my tutor Lydia, who's amazing. She delivers our education out there as well, because obviously I don't want to go and be that white person that talks to people who can't understand it. Even though they do speak English, it's very difficult. It's like you talking to somebody who's broad Scottish, you wouldn't understand. you know what I mean? Everybody's got their dialect, you know. So, and I didn't want to do that anyway. I wanted my, you know, it's such an important subject. We buy material out there, but we still have workshops here. We have about 6 or 7 workshops here that like top up Kenya. And we have now, so I used to take them, or we used to send them by cargo, but now the Ministry of Defence we've got on with in with them, and they're going to they've got a base in Kenya, so they're actually going to be shipping them some over for us, and also other stuff. We collect bras and things like that, you know, for girls and women, because it sort of stops them being molested, and it's like a barrier, and it's also a status thing as well. So we collect bras anyway. But since last year, we've had a partnership with it's called Alpine Group, and they have got they make t-shirts for Under Armour and Nike and people like that, and they have now perfected this system where any waste material they cut out in for Dignity kits. So their waste material that would normally go to landfill is now cut out, and we actually last year got delivered enough material to make all cut out to make 10,000 kits. Well, and actually we delivered 24 in 8 years, and then like last year we delivered 7,000 in 1 year. So it's like ramped everything up, like, oh, and then hopefully this year at some point they've pledged us like 20,000 enough kits. But it's like, it's great that, but it's like actually we're a tiny charity, and each kit to make up and deliver costs £3. So that's £60,000 we need to find from somewhere to actually, you know, like afford to, because there's enough places to deliver them out in Kenya. And we do a lot of the education. We feed back as well. So we've like cut teenage pregnancies, with truancy levels go down in schools, attainment levels go up. Girls can, you know, they're going, every, you know, going to school every month, and they're not missing school. You know, their self-esteem is hugely increased. It's like anything, isn't it? You know, if you think if you don't have a period products, how you feel, everybody's been even caught short, and that's like a nightmare, isn't it? But actually not being able to afford anything. And in Kenya, they use ash and dung and bits out their mattresses. They use rags. They even don't use anything because they don't even have, can't even afford rags. You know, they haven't got any extra clothes, so they sit in a hole. Wow. They sit in a hole and bleed for a month, you know, for a week. There's a lot of transactional sex goes on, so sex for pads, sex for food, because that's all they've got. Yeah. You know, so actually giving a girl a pad, you know, a Dignity kit, which had lasted, you know, we've just been out to Nairobi, actually. We found a girl who's been using her pack for 4 years. So they last a long time.
What exactly is in a Dignity kit?
So they get two shields, which are waterproof shields. So they're like, it looks like an always, you know, like with a, so it just looks like a pad, you know, with wings, but it's got pressed, and it's waterproof pad, and that goes on your pants. And then they have a liner that goes on top of that. So it's like an absorbent liner. And they can change the liner whenever they need. So, but they just keep the, you know, the waterproof pad in place, so they can just check, so they can spring, you know. And then we give them a bag, two bags, a normal bag to keep everything in, and then a wet bag, so when if they haven't got anywhere to wash them, they can just put them in a bag. We give them two pairs of pants, because a lot of girls don't even have pants over there, so we always give them two pairs of pants as well. And also when we've delivered their education, we give them like a little calendar and some washing instructions as well. So that's what's in a pack. And you know, they're absolutely, we've got hundreds of videos about how fantastic, you know, how different it makes their lives. Mm-hmm. You know, because you don't really realize that, you know, you don't, because if you're not in that position, you don't actually realize how important it is. And you know, if you think about missing a week of school every month, that's like 3 months plus your holidays, you know, of school. So, you know, educational attainment in girls is really bad in places like, you know, Kenya, and well, anywhere where there's like huge period poverty issues.
And so do you think there needs to be like a bigger, I don't know, campaign in general for like reusable period products and to make it less expensive for everyone, like overall, and how those work?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think there's a lot of, I mean, you know, we could probably end period poverty tomorrow with the amount of like waste material that's going to landfill, you know, as in reusables. Reusables maybe are the way to go. Because obviously they're sustainable, they last longer, they don't have to worry about the military issue of it. I also think you know, around period poverty and around access to period, you know, it's okay saying that the government should provide them free, but actually companies should provide them free.
This is the argument that I don't know, we hear a lot, and it's jokey in a sense, but there is some like validity to it, that if men had periods they would be free tomorrow.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, tax, you know, when we had the tampon tax, there was no tax on shavers, but there was tax on period products. What the heck? You know, it's absolutely ridiculous. And actually, you know, more companies should take, it should be government policy that companies should provide, as well as soap and toilet paper, period products, because actually, you know, people in low paid work are predominantly women, or people who menstruate. And actually, you know, you are coming to work and making that company a profit, but you are really struggling with your, you know, because period products are so expensive. So provide them with period products. There should be a policy rather than, you know, as in a government policy, not just saying, oh, the government needs to provide them. The government needs to think about a strategy around, you know, having them, you know, available. Because they're making, you know, we're making profit. And I think, you know, people say, oh, they should be free. Yes, they should be free, but that ain't gonna happen, not in my lifetime anyway. But you know, we need some sort of, you know, instrumental massive shift in thinking around periods, and it's just been really slow. It's, you know, we campaign all the time, you know, and it's just like, you know, it's a little bit like, you know, stopping people going to toilet during your class. You know, in schools, that's a massive issue at the moment, a huge issue. And girls are not going, you know, menstruators are not going to school because they know, actually, I'm going to probably come on today and I'm not going to be able to go to the toilet, or I'm really heavy. And it's like, you'd let your dog out for a wee.
Yeah.
Why? And actually, you know, dignity is a basic human right. Not having dignity because you're bleeding through your clothes because you can't go to the toilet to change it is not dignity. It's not, that's not a bit, you know, so it's almost contravening your basic human right, not being able to have access to toilets when you need it.
It was always really awkward. No, yeah, but I, like, even I experienced in school, I'm not sure if you did, that it was very much like you'd ask go to the toilet and they'd be like, oh, you actually can't right now, or like you need to wait, or like break was, you know, 15 minutes ago. And then you'd kind of just have to admit in front of the whole class that, like, oh, no, I'm on my period, I like need to go. And then male teachers like clam up like it's nothing. Like, it was never the female teachers. Let me go to the toilet. It was always the male teachers, and they would like clam up, and then they'd be like, oh, just go then. It's like,
you shouldn't have to ask anyway. Yeah. And it's almost like, oh, well, we're not letting them go because there's bullying in the toilets, as this. Well, actually, sort the bullies out then. You know, it's like everybody else has to suffer because of the 2% of people that are naughty in the toilets, you know? It's so bad.
Yeah.
It's not really good.
Yeah. And I was going to say, I mean, some of the toilets around you, I think uni's doing quite well, that quite a few of the toilets in uni do have free period products. I know the ones in like Roncook Hub definitely do, but then sometimes it's very hit and miss, or if they do, but the ones that you see more are like the condom machines, and I'm like, oh, I don't, like, realistically, when I'm going to the toilet at university, I'm not going to be like, oh yes, I'll pick myself up a condom right now. And it's like, no, I want the period products.
Exactly. And it's like, you can more control having sex than you can having your period. And that's the whole issue, isn't it, around education. Men think we can control our periods like they can control their wee, because nobody's told them that actually you just bleed. You don't like do it like a you know, like you go into the toilet. And again, you know, the education in this country, the period education is very hit and miss. It's probably more miss than hit. You know, and and boys need to be educated around it as well, you know, so then it becomes normalised, and then that stops that stigma. It's just a normal thing that happens. I mean, you know, with social media and things like that, it has got a lot better, but it's still got a long way to go. We've still got so much to do around, you know, breaking it. But yeah, like you say, a lot of it is to do with education, you know, from an early age.
I was going to say, if people want to get involved with like Freedom for Girls, or if they want to know like where to go, like to pick up some reusable pads, or like what sort of advice would you say?
If you come to our go to our website www.freedomforgirls.co.uk. We have the website, we have Instagram, Freedom for Girls, we have Facebook, we have LinkedIn, we have Twitter or X, but we don't use that very often. We don't use that very often because we don't. But yeah, so if they want to get in touch, you know, there's a thing on the website where they can get in touch with us, if they want to do some fundraising, or if they want to hear all about us, if they want to set up a sewing workshop, do you know what I mean? If they want us to come and deliver education, there's lots of things that you know, we can support with. But yeah, so it's yeah, I mean, I suppose that's the story. I mean, it was really interesting because when I going back to when I was first in Kenya, I'm like, okay, we want to make these pads. How do I, where do I distribute them? So I met this man in the middle of a field, and he was an elder because they have like elders out there. And it was a friend of mine who I knew from in Kenya, and he said, "Oh, come and meet this man and explain to him what you do." So I sort of tried to explain to him that we're here to help the girls, and he said, he turned around, he said, "Has God sent you?" And I said, "What do you mean, has God sent me?" And I said, "No, God hasn't sent me. I come from Leeds, you know." And he said, "Well," he said, "we I know the issues of all the girls in the schools, and you know, and yes, we really need your help. And I'm going to take you around to all my schools." And in his area, he had seven schools, and I had enough money to make 400 pads. And after like the second, third school, I said, "I'm really sorry. I don't want to disappoint anybody." I said, "You know, because all the teachers, the head teachers that I met, were going, 'Oh, this is fantastic. We know all the girls are struggling. They don't come to school. Their attainment levels are bad. You know, please, please come and give that your pads and the education." And I said to this man, I said, "Look, I can't do it. I can't go anymore." I said, "I don't want to disappoint anybody. You know, I don't want to disappoint, you know, saying that we can bring pads and we can't." So yeah, so and that's how it started. And like I say, 30 odd thousand later, yeah, we're still at it. I was really proud. I mean, we became a charity in 2018. In 2020, we got the Queen's Award for volunteering, which is the highest accolade from the Queen, for a charity. That was after 3 years with our special recognition for COVID work, because we were like periods in the pandemic. You know, you can still we need to still give provision, and it was really bad in COVID because people didn't have a lot of money. You know, everybody was on furlough, people didn't have some money. We were like delivering pads at the end of people's drives, and you know, community centres were closed and things like that. And yeah, so it was really a really difficult period, and it hasn't really got any better. It's got worse. It's got worse. You know, the situation around poverty is really bad at the moment. And again, hygiene and period poverty, people don't think about. It's just more usually food poverty, but it's just as bad. And then in 2022, I got an MBE for a period
Congratulations.
poverty. It's like amazing. And then yeah, and then we got then I got Inspirational Woman of Leeds. There's like a big ribbon in the city. Yeah, with my name on it, which is amazing. Which, you know, for little old me who's never done anything like that, you know, it's like, and I still work in public health. I still run the charity. I'm a fitness instructor as well, and then I do a lot of food work as well. So a lot of provision, you know, in food banks and things like that, because obviously we deliver period products into food banks as well. But now, from 1.7 million visits to food banks in 2017, there's now nearly 4 million.
Wow. Yeah, and
Nearly
no one
four
thinks how
million.
that then affects everything, because that seems, I don't know, that would probably be the first thing to go, like period, like hygiene products and period
Is,
products.
yeah, it is. I mean, we've spoken to people here, and they're using socks, they're using tea towels, they're using bits out of their pillowcases, you know, all, you know, unhygienic things. I mean, if you look on our website, we have our film called Absent, and that's all around period poverty and stuff like that. But yeah. But yeah, so it is a massive thing, and we're still there. We're still fighting. It's just really, you know, it's hard work because, you know, obviously period products are, you know, they're not cheap for people, and it's not fair. You know, even and again, it's not just about that. It's about period dignity. It's about being dignified on your period. You know, why aren't they free in, you know, in restaurants and theatres and community centres? Why aren't people thinking about it, you know? So, yeah, education and provision.
Yeah, so thank you so much, Fatina, for talking to us. It's been really great to listen to what you have to say and all the different experiences from different areas of the world and how it affects everyone that I had no idea about.
Yeah, 100%. And thank you guys so much for listening. We know we've had like a little bit of time off, but we're back, don't worry. And I mean, this is such a big topic and we've kind of done a little bit of an overview, but if you guys are interested in us doing a more like niche episode about, I don't know, endometriosis, about the cycle and like actually what all the phases mean, then we're happy to kind of zoom in if you guys are interested. we'll put a little thing out on the Instagram, which is at Talking About It Pod, so go over there and follow it, and yeah, keep up to date with things.
See you next week.
Thanks so much for listening.
Bye.